Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's edible honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of edible honesty, and the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
Hey, hey, my, hot, rockin' biblical fruit pie. Let's get down and talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host, and I am ready to rock. So let's cut right into it, because today we will be readjusting almost everything you thought you knew about food. And for today's extra tasty episode, I will be using the lyrics of Jimi Hendrix, the Blues Brothers, XTC, Supertramp, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Queen, Steve Martin, and the five-man electric band to discuss part two of the edible biblical contract. And as a reminder, we are in breach big time, and a biblical famine is coming as a result. Well, I hear a train a-coming. Hear my train a-coming, unless we act fast, and I have a solution. In our last edible episode, Andrew the Giant introduced us all to the first verbal contract struck between God and Adam and Eve, and he also introduced us to the concept of a biblical famine. And a biblical famine is a horrible certainty that takes place every 200 years or so, like clockwork. How about some proof? Exactly 200 years ago, in the summer of 1822, Marty, in Ireland, McFly, a bad, very bad potato crop created a panic that soon became a famine of biblical proportions. And right away, 15% of the total Irish population was wiped out of existence. More than 1 million people, more than 1 million Irish people starved to death. So what do you think will happen when just one of the 12 plants that we rely upon for human nourishment experiences a bad crop, say like the one in the summer of 1822? Or what will happen when just one of the 12 plants that we rely upon disappears and falls victim to culinary extinction? I'll tell you what, we starve. The other day, I had a wish sandwich. And a wish sandwich is the kind of sandwich where you have two slices of bread and you wish you had something in between. Bow, bow, bow. Ooh, ooh. We need to create a system for ensuring that we do not fall victim to the next biblical famine, because it's coming. They come like clockwork every 200 years. And that system that we put in place must stop the supporting of and the creating of synthetic food. So I will say this one more time to Congressman David Scott. Congressman Scott, tear down this wall. By creating a system that is easy to scale and creating a system that forms a grid all across the United States of America and place in that grid in every part of the United States of America a food tower in every city, in every town, places many first edible mile farm food towers as you need until we can guarantee food security to every person in the United States. Creating these municipal food towers, if you will create a highly networked and organized grid across the entire landscape of America, a system that not only preserves but ensures our humanity, a system that preserves any and all natural grown food. I'm not talking about better food. I am talking about the best food possible. First Edible Mile Farms is dedicated to growing food as close to the Garden of Eden as possible. That is food loaded with edibly, electrical benefits, food grown for flavor, food grown specifically for photonic energy, not durability. And a series of these food towers need to be erected right now, post haste, immediately, as every city and every town shall have as many of these food towers that they require to ensure that every person can permanently avoid food insecurity. And these food towers, First Edible Mile Farms, are the solution to solving food insecurity, not just in the United States, but worldwide. And we can no longer afford to sit around and debate about someday, possibly, maybe creating a system that maybe predicts the next impending biblical famine, because it's inevitable. It's a guarantee. Everyone knows it's coming because it comes every 200 years. Biblical famine is already upon us. You just have to know how to read the signs. You know, do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? In the book of Revelations, in the New Testament, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are conquest, war, famine, and death. And in the Old Testament, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are sword, famine, wild beast, and pestilence. Now, the only thing that both Testaments share in common at the end of the world is that a biblical famine comes no matter what. And whenever someone on this planet decides to call an audible and run a different play, you know, a different play than the one God has already called, well, people starve. I promise you, nothing good ever materializes when someone changes God's play on the football field of life. Let's put it like this. I wouldn't dream of calling an audible on a play called by Bill Belichick, let alone God. Peyton? Hey, Peyton, what are you doing, Peyton? I'm changing the damn play. Set down on three. Omaha, Omaha. And Peyton drops back, and Peyton is sacked for a loss of 50 by the four horsemen. Dear God, I hope you got this letter, because we are in trouble. A biblical, global famine is impending, and we are not prepared. And all across the ancient Near East in biblical times, drought and famine were feared. Drought was a curse. Famine, a deadly disease. Now, a prolonged drought creates massive harvest failures. And once massive harvest failures start, well, you guessed it, a biblical famine ensues. And for a little perspective, a biblical famine is a little bit longer than you may have in mind. They last up to 7 full years, and they wipe out close to 30% of the total population. Drought and famine are literally the quickest and most effective way to take down an entire civilization, let alone a city, a state, or a small country. And all local and all city governments in the United States and all around the world are about to experience both prolonged drought and both biblical famine. And we need to view biblical drought and biblical famine as a permanent threat. Heck, we already know. The party has already started. Food is disappearing on this planet at an alarming rate, and we are in the beginning of the next biblical famine. So unless we want extreme social crises that leads to massive conflicts and political turmoil like we have not seen in over 1,000 years, then all we need to do is shake hands and keep those hands a-shaking. And those shaking hands need to work to create a full grid across the United States of America and instill food towers everywhere. First edible mile food towers in every state, in every town. Ooh, ooh. Little climate shifts have changed the course of history so many times it is impossible to document. Now, I know what you're thinking. You don't believe me. Well, in the Bible, biblical global famine is a standard punishment, and the biblical punishment always fits the biblical crime. It's an eye for an eye. Am I right, Cyclops? Right. You're bloody well right. And every time we mess with the natural landscape, and every time we cause or create some chaotic climactic condition or conditions, let alone spoil the earth and render that part of the earth useless. Well, you guessed it, people starve. And the mighty Egyptian Empire was brought down when they upset God. And in response, God slightly, just a little bit, altered the microclimate that affected Egypt. And in doing so, he stopped the flooding of the life-affirming Nile River. And just like that, no food grew in Egypt. And just like that, the Egyptians starved. And down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. And ancient Egypt collapsed. And when I die, don't think I'm a nut. Don't want no fancy funeral, just one like old King Tut. King Tut. Ooh, ooh. The effects of a prolonged drought and the effects of a prolonged famine are always the same. It is beyond horrifying. People die. Drought and famine literally destroys communities and every single last mile destination, small town, anywhere. And these places are burnt to the ground and they are left unoccupied. And once the towns and cities become unoccupied due to extreme drought and famine, well, the elaborate network of international trade, or let's phrase it this way, the global food supply chain collapses, and all due to biblical famine. Ooh, ooh. Now, the moral of the story is be prepared, because it doesn't take very much. Climate changes that affect the food supply do not have to be large at all to have an extremely life-altering, crippling, rippling effect. Ancient Egypt was the undisputed top civilization in the world for 3,000 years and running, up until the year 2180 BC, when the mighty Egyptians were rendered powerless by a drought that led to a crippling famine. Now, they should have prepared for it. They had ample warning. They knew it was coming. The writing was literally on the wall in hieroglyphics. But hubris and an extremely healthy 3,000-year track record said otherwise. So they ignored the possibilities, and as a result, they paid for it. They were caught with their proverbial wraparound white linens down, and they starved. Egypt was not conquered by Alexander the Great. Well, they were, but not like you think. They were conquered by Alexander the Opportunist. Egypt had no one strong enough to even hold up a sword. The once mighty Egyptians literally rolled over and played dead. Sit, Ubu, sit, good boy. The Egyptian Empire was defeated by food insecurity. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, because there's a natural mystic blowing through the air. So, excuse me while I light my spliff, spliff. Oh God, I got to take a lift, lift. Ooh, ooh. So, that's it. That's a wrap. On part two, how to solve biblical famine. But get ready, because there's a part three a-coming. And it's coming out in just a week. And just like Dickie V, you know, it's gonna be awesome, baby. Ooh, ooh. My name is Andrew. I thank you so much for listening, and to all my fans, out there in Nebraska, love you guys, and an enormous edible shout out to my favorite farmer in the United States, Goyo over at JR Organics in Escondido, California. And here is the skinny on Goyo. Not only is he known around the world as the watermelon whisperer, but the truth of the matter is that Goyo is the first farmer that is growing food as close to the Garden of Eden as it can possibly be. He is the first farmer to actually farm edible electricity, and believe me, it'll knock your socks off. And right now, if you live in Orange County, Los Angeles, San Diego, California, get in touch with Goyo. Get yourself 1, 2, 3, heck, 5 boxes of edible electricity a week, or get yourself 8, 9, 10 every 2 weeks, so long as you are staying electrified. And I've been getting all your emails and your comments, and thank you, and do not stop writing me at info@ediblehonesty.com. And no, I'm not signed by any media outlet yet, but History Channel, Food Network, Cooking Channel, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, Foodable, Martha Stewart, I'm available. So get in contact with me, and let's work out a deal, and let's get Edible Honesty what it deserves, a syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for the next episode for more Edible Honesty. Same edible time, same edible station.